volunteer applications to be part of our on-air team.
And welcome. This is Latinx.
Welcome to the Soul Kitchen. It is I, your resident chef, Big Eddie G.
Join your favorite voices on 88.5 FM, WMNF.org, and our HD channels. If you've always dreamed of being on the radio,
I would love to be on the radio.
Now's your chance.
Join your listening supported radio station, WMNF.
Apply under the programming tab at WMNF.org.
The opinions presented on the Healthy Steps show are the evidence-based opinions of Dr. Fred Harvey, the callers, and his guests. These are not the opinions of the staff, the volunteers, or the board of WMNF. The information provided on the show is not intended to diagnose or treat any disease. There is no implied patient-physician relationship in these calls. The nature of the calls is educational and informational only.
A bright good morning to you, my Healthy Steps aficionados, and thank you for tuning in to WMNF Tampa. Dr. Harvey's topic this spectacular Monday morning is how to clean and improve your gut function. You're invited to participate in this discussion, or if you have any medical questions, by calling 813-239-9663 or sending an email to dj@wmnf.org. You can also text us at 813-433-0885. Your phone calls and email participation enhances the Healthy Step Show, so thank you. Clark is in the control room to take your
recording
calls.
Recording in
look
progress.
Forward to hearing from you. Well, good morning, Dr. Fred. So you want to talk to us about how to clean and improve our gut functions. Well, in preparation for the show, I was ready to deal with the billions of icky, mysterious, essential microbiomes in our system. But I also found it interesting that our guts can be affected by extrinsic factors such as stress, sleep, and exercise. So tell me more. I'm fascinated.
Welcome back, Bill, and thanks for that intro. This is really the foundations of detoxification we're talking about here. Our gut is our interface with the outside. We have a tennis court of absorptive capacity. That's how big, when you stretch out the small intestine and all the little folds in it, but a tennis court worth of absorbing capacity. And if that's damaged, we have trouble. And as you said, stress, all kinds of external factors can change our gut integrity. And that's really the key. The ability to deal with the toxic burden is directly associated here. The toxic burden or the load of toxins in our body are related to three main factors. The amount of exposure. That's why we've been talking about where we get exposed over the last couple of months so that we can begin to really think about avoiding exposure. That's the foundation. If you don't get the toxin, then you don't get sick. But unfortunately, the toxins are invisible and they're everywhere. So we live in a toxic planet that sets us up for these problems. Second thing is the ability to produce the metabolic machinery of detox, the enzymes that clean up the system. Sometimes we have genetic missteps that don't provide us effective enzymes, or some are missing, in fact. And in those cases, we have to double up on some of the other machinery. And we have to actually treat the machinery well, because when you have deficits, you really don't want to overburden the system. And finally, the amount of detox nutrients that are available. And so we use proteins, sulfur-containing chemicals like sulforaphane from broccoli, amino acids, all kinds of different things help to do detoxification. And it really depends on the nutrient density of your foods and your gut integrity. Because detoxification or metabolic detox is the physical body's way to make toxicants, which are the natural toxic byproducts of mold, bacteria, and human metabolism, and also hormones, how to make them less harmful. This process starts in the gastrointestinal tract of the gut. And our ability to transform and remove the toxins is really dependent in large part on the integrity of these functions. And you know, it's really the interface, and if it's lacking integrity, we actually have holes that allow bacteria, viruses, toxins, toxicants, and other unwelcome substances into the body, and so it increases our toxic load. So we really want to have an intact gut to keep the toxic load lower. When we have digestion going on, we actually produce some toxins in the digestive and the metabolic process that need to be cleaned up. We also absorb nutrients from the food while we're eliminating the various toxins in our gut. So it really has to be working well both directions. And the gut itself needs to work well to be able to support the liver, which we'll talk about next week. The gut is lined with a special layer of cells that's only one layer thick and very sensitive to stress, to alcohol, to nicotine, to antibiotics, to all kinds of other harmful substances. Food sensitivities and food interactions are other things that can be problematic. And between each of these cells, these tiny cells that, you know, 100 of them will fit on the head of a pin, there's a space called a tight junction, and normally that's tight and held closed. But things like histamine, that is an allergy molecule, that histamine, it even occurs in some foods, like fermented foods, like sauerkraut, can have this histamine in there, and it will actually open up the tight junctions and make your gut leak. What is this intestinal permeability? We've heard about leaky gut many times. It's been in the news. It's been on many alternative airways. It's not well recognized by gastroenterology, but it's real. An ulcer is evidence of decreased intestinal integrity or increased permeability. You have a hole. Things leak through it. That's what an ulcer is. Small ulcers occur all the time. Stress can cause many little ulcers on the surface of your stomach. And while some intestinal permeability is normal, it's when it's increased beyond the natural level of leakiness. There's always some. But once it goes to a high level and you have holes all over, it allows so many harmful substances and partially digested food in. It causes allergies and sensitivities. And when you have this problem with the leak, you actually reduce the absorption of your essential nutrients and you damage other organs like the pancreas, so it doesn't produce as many good enzymes, and the gallbladder, so it doesn't efficiently eject the bile to help you digest fat. So many, many things can cause the increased intestinal permeability. And so antibiotics, other medications, infections, a virus like the coronavirus will actually cause a weakening of the gut lining and imbalances in your gut microflora. The microbiome of your gut is so important, and so many things can imbalance this, including the foods we eat. So we want to look at some of those things and some questions you can ask yourself about your exposures. In this instance, are do you consume conventionally farmed, non-organic, or genetically modified fruits and vegetables, or animals too? Because now there's genetically modified salmon out there. So if you answer yes, then you have increased toxic burden. Do you consume conventionally raised non-organic animal products like meat, poultry, dairy, and eggs? If so, you're exposed to all kinds of chemicals that aren't normal. Do you consume farmed fish and seafood? And some canned. Now, canned salmon is wild salmon. It's not farmed. So it's pretty good if you get BPA-free cans. But canning can leave the toxic petrochem BPA in food, but they do have good cans out there. But farmed fish is actually usually subjected to all kinds of pesticides and other things, as is the antibiotic laden tiger shrimp that come from Thailand and elsewhere when they grow them in the river, and it's really contaminated. And another one, do you consume processed foods? Foods with added artificial colors, flavors, preservatives, or sweeteners? Pink meat, for example, bacon. It stays pink forever because there's nitrites in it. Deep fried foods, fast foods, which aren't foods. They're tasty food-like substances that pretend to be foods, and they taste amazing because they've spent millions to make you addicted to the taste, but there's no food at those restaurants. So if you eat those things, yes, you're toxifying yourself. Think about it. Subway used to put a plasticizer in their sub roll. I think McDonald's probably still does. Do you drink water from a well, a spring, or a cistern, or from plumbing pipes or fixtures installed before 1986? If so, you probably have exposures. To all kinds of things. Here in Florida, if you drink well water, you're exposed to petrochemical toxins and the agricultural runoff from pesticides, etc. Another question is, do you drink sodas, concentrated fruit juices, other beverages with neither natural, like agave or high fructose corn syrup or refined sweeteners, or artificial sweeteners? How much of this do you drink? If you do, and you drink things that contain things like NutraSweet or acesulfame or aspartame or Neotame, you're toxifying yourself. So there's one way of looking at that gut microbiome, and knowing that these chemicals that are going in are definitely affecting your gut integrity. So that brings us to actually the 4R program, or 5R actually, for taking care of your gut. How do you maintain a good gut? First, if you're having symptoms, and some of the symptoms of leaky gut would be the same symptoms of any kind of toxicity, obesity, diabetes, metabolic syndrome, fatigue is a huge issue, cancer, infertility issues, allergies, mood and behavior disorders, neurologic conditions like tremors, headaches, thinking problems, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, multiple sclerosis, other autoimmune diseases. All of these are associated with leaky gut, and all of them can respond to dietary and lifestyle therapy. So if you're having gut symptoms, irritable bowel syndrome, bloating, gas, belching, or any of these other toxic symptoms, you might want to begin to remove, that's the first R, remove the stressors. So work on the mental de-stressing, because that does negatively affect the lining of your gut. And then get rid of the things that negatively affect the gut environment. So if you have known reactions, like, you know, every time you eat pizza, you bloat and feel terrible. Well, there's a food you probably are sensitive to, whether it's the dairy or the gluten, we don't know, but there's a food to avoid. So you want to get rid of allergic or sensitive foods. You probably want to get a gut test to see how much assault you're having. So look for parasites, problematic bacteria, yeast. All these things can be eliminated with herbs and or medications and dietary changes that would promote a better microbiome. And that would, I think maybe some of you have heard of it, maybe would include the elimination diet. And an elimination diet has you eliminate most reactive foods. It's often the way I start clients in my clinic. We eliminate gluten and dairy. We eliminate eggs and fried foods. We eliminate added sugar. If we eliminate those things, we actually really reduce the toxic burden on the gut and let it rest while we give it some healing help with some good nutrition. In the meantime, if you're having some digestive problems, we may need to replace some of your digestive secretions. Replace, that's the second R. And you need pancreatic enzymes to help digest. You need bile salts to help digest. And you need hydrochloric acid in your stomach. History will give us an idea if you have problems with any of those, but there is no reason not to take a nice digestive enzyme that may have some ox bile salts in it to help in this phase while you're really trying to move away from an unsettled gut. And if you're having bloating after the meal, indigestion, I think it's really a good idea to try a very safe choice like a digestive enzyme. The third R is re-inoculate. That means we want to put back the good stuff. Generally, the standard American diet, or the SAD diet, is one that disrupts the good gastrointestinal bacteria and creates problems for us. And so we want to put good probiotics into the diet. And I've talked about probiotics before, the friendly bacteria. When you look for your probiotic, you want to make sure it has a label on the back that describes the bacteria, like Lactobacillus acidophilus. But after that, you want to see an alphanumeric in parentheses that lets you know that it's genetically strained, something like NCFM or Roselle 11 or some designator like that, that lets you know that this bacteria is tracked, that we know exactly what it is, because different bacteria have different properties for the gut. prebiotics have been in the news for a couple of years. Prebiotics are your food. Prebiotics are soluble fiber that support the growth of good bacteria. Some people don't tolerate these well. People with small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, another complete topic we can get into at some point. But fructooligosaccharides are part of prebiotics, and they should be avoided by people with that problem. But that's not the majority of people. Almost everyone responds really well to soluble fiber. Soluble fiber is the stuff you find in oatmeal and okra. The fifth or the fourth R is repair. We want to help the lining of the gastrointestinal tract repair. So we need key nutrients, antioxidants, and other things that really help, such as fish oil. Fish oil is hugely calming for the lining of the gut. In fact, there was one study that showed that 9,000 milligrams, 9 grams a day, could help put ulcerative colitis into remission. But we also need zinc, which helps to close the tight junctions. Glutamine is an amazing amino acid that's so crucial in creating the integrity of the small intestine. Finally, the last R is rebalance. We want to rebalance our lifestyle because sleep, exercise, and stress all affect the gastrointestinal tract. So balancing these activities really helps to maintain optimal digestive function. And so knowing that these are the ways we can approach it, we can think about what kind of foods we can put in. And I will have available on my website, and we'll put some here too, some links to some really good places where you can get some ideas on the good food that's available to heal the gut. You know, cabbage has glutamine in it. So get some cabbage. Other things, really have to think about your fresh produce. You really want to eat close to the ground. But in the meantime, before we go on to that, let's actually remind people that this is WMNF Tampa, and allow Bill to give us the phone numbers and email.
I'm ready for that, yes. And everybody, I'll remind you that you are listening to Healthy Steps with Dr. Fred Harvey here on WMNF Tampa, as he said. And you can participate in this conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or sending an email to dj@wmnf.org or text us at 813-433-0885. And do we have any emails or anything that you want to address there, Dr. Fred?
Sure. Here's an interesting one, not directly associated with our topic, but yes, cancer is a toxic problem. And what can a cancer patient take to regain strength in order to try another treatment? Immunotherapy backfired, and doctor says she has to get off steroids, which give her strength. The other medicines she on are morphine when needed, gabapentin, and potassium powder. This happened twice where she didn't wake up for 2 days. Well, it sounds to me like the medications are rather toxic, and she could probably benefit from a good detoxification. I would suggest that she see a nutritional, functional medicine doctor and get on a life-supporting nutritional program that helps to build up the system so that detoxification can occur. Here's a problem that I've seen with cancer patients and chemotherapy. Most of them have been ill, and they have not had great nutrition for some time. Chemotherapy requires a vast amount of processing nutrition to be able to eliminate the toxin from the body after it's been administered. If the person is not eating, they don't get enough protein, antioxidants, and vitamin co-nutrients to help process these toxins, so they become more toxic. I have watched chemotherapy euthanize numerous people because of the way it's administered without any thought to the nutrition. It's really unfortunate because it seems like the medicines might work and statistics might tell us they might work, but when you don't address the patient holistically, they have less of a chance of working. And so I would say that this lady really needs to get some good nutritional help, because that may actually change the whole process that she's going through. So detoxification, the food plan, it requires lots of vegetables because the phytochemicals in the food actually provide us with the processing materials needed to eliminate the toxins and rebuild the system. So my predecessor on this show, Eve, always talked about eating a rainbow. Her business was called Full Spectrum because she believed in this full spectrum. And it's really the truth, because the colors, the natural colors occurring in these fruits and vegetables, are potent detoxifying agents. They really help us thrive. So we need to get more of them. The green in most green things is chlorophyll. But behind that, we have reds and oranges and all kinds of other colors. And other vegetables like red onions have the red of quercetin. Quercetin is so valuable for the vascular system. It's also a great detox agent. Broccoli has sulforaphane in it, as do all the brassica or cruciferous vegetables. So there's a wide range of those wonderful things like Brussels sprouts and broccoli, napa cabbage, bok choy, arugula, kale, and cauliflower. All these things have so much potent anti-cancer help. In fact, there are numerous studies on the broccoli extract, sulforaphane glucosinolate, SGS, in PubMed, the National Library of Medicine's clearinghouse for all published clinical studies. Every study that I read on sulforaphane glucosinolate, or SGS, has positive effect in cancer. Alone, sometimes it can actually arrest the cancer growth, and combined with chemotherapy, it is highly effective. There is a fallacy that comes from oncology that nutritional supplementation will hurt the administration of their chemotherapy. It's a complete fiction. There's numerous published information out there that antioxidant supplementation does not interfere with the poisons that they're administering. It just doesn't happen. That was a theory they had at one point, but they cling to their hypothetical theory, just like people cling to a hypothetical theory about certain shots in arms. So the whole thing we want to do is work on continuously clearing these toxins. Blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, anything with color. You want to get that into your body. And some stuff that doesn't have a lot of color, like ginger, is an amazing antioxidant, amazing regenerator. And so is turmeric. Has a lot of color, but not exactly a normal herb, a normal vegetable you eat. But grate some turmeric into any soup that you make. It adds an extra flavor and color that just makes it so, so nourishing. Well, we still don't have any calls today, so let's give out the number again.
Yeah, it's unduly quiet. I'm assuming that everybody's getting ready to go to their community Martin Luther King March. Well, and if you are, WMNF is going to be at the one in Ybor City, so you can join us at Columbus Drive in República de Cuba. Starting at 11:30 is the march. But those of you listening to us here, you can participate in the call by giving a jingle at 813-239-9663 or sending an email to dj@wmnf.org or text us at 813-433-0885. Clark is in the control room just waiting to talk to you. And back to you, Dr. Fred.
We have another email here. This one says, I'm very interested in finding something holistic and nutrition-based to help me with my benign prostatic hypertrophy, elevated PSA, and recently finding a low-grade prostate cancer in one of six specimens taken on biopsy. He has heard me endorse Dr. Ornish's regimen several times, and he would like me to elaborate on the basis for my endorsement. Well, I base that on the clinical study that Dr. Ornish produced based on that Spectrum book that he published. And what he showed in that was that there are about 640 enzyme or genetic systems that are turned on promoting the prostate cancer. And out of the 640 that are turned on, his approach turned off about 600 of them, I believe. It was really just basically shifting your metabolism away from cancer production. And so that would be one of the best things you could do. And then my second recommendation, as you're asking for one, Jim, is that you find a functional medicine doctor to coach you through this, because it really would be helpful to really stay on top of it with as many of the most current available interventions as possible. And one thing you might want to consider before anybody talks you into radiation or surgery is HIFU, high intensity focused ultrasound, which is a very valid treatment for prostate cancer, especially localized.
I think we got some calls here there, Dr. Fred. Let's go to Bridget in Fort Myers. Good morning there,
Bridget. Good morning, Bridget.
Good morning. Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking
Excellent.
My call.
Excellent. How are you?
Good, good. I'm actually calling for my daughter. She's had some pretty severe stomach issues over time, and she was diagnosed with Crohn's, which, you know, they kind of got it under control. And actually, we're going to hopefully have a follow-up appointment to talk to you personally. But she had that under control, but over the past month, she kind of created a perfect storm for her stomach. She had like stress and all this stuff, so she created mainly, it seems like, just a very nervous stomach that's created a lot of gas and a lot of pain and a lot of, you know, acid creation. And the doctor did all sorts of tests, and he really didn't see anything there but gastritis. But it's been extremely painful, and I've been trying to figure out, given her different things, he gave her different things. And for immediate relief, I'm just trying to see the best thing to do for her in that regard, for her stomach. It's mainly sitting right in her stomach, and she gets this gas buildup, and it's just become really, really painful.
Well, that does sound terrible. So I think one of the first things you can do is an elimination diet. Really just take away all the things that would be giving the bowel pressure. So get rid of heavy proteins to digest. So get rid of the gluten, the eggs, the dairy, and even meats. And try to stick with really lighter foods, vegetables, vegetable juices, fruit juices that are fresh, not canned. Look for, there are things like an elemental diet that's available, where it's a broken down diet that's amino acids and simple starches and medium chain triglycerides that are very well tolerated. I rest my patients' bowels with that quite often. But over the counter.
Now, where can I get that right now? Like, can you get it over the counter? I know I've seen that before, but it's from the doctor previously.
Yes. So, there are different ones. The ones that are available medically are really nasty. They have too many chemicals in. But Integrative Therapeutics makes one that's in a powder form that I use in the office. You might be able to find that one at health food store or online.
What is it
in the
called?
Meantime,
I'm sorry.
Elemental Diet.
No, that particular brand.
Oh, Integrative Therapeutics.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And over-the-counter famotidine works so well for many belly pains, because sometimes it's being triggered by histamine. And that would be a really good thing to add over-the-counter, but that wouldn't be for more than a week or so until you talk to the gastroenterologist and find out what else is to do. Glutamine is a great soother. Famotidine, yes, it's Pepcid. Pepcid is the brand name.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, she's been using Pepcid.
Okay, so yeah, she's already doing some of those good things. So glutamine, excellent soothing for the lining of the gut. DGL, deglycerized licorice, is a really good soother for the gut. So a lot of tools there you could try while you're working this out.
Okay, great. I truly appreciate that. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
All right there, Dr. Fred. Christina from St. Pete has been patiently waiting on the line for us. Hey there, Christina.
Hi, Dr. Fred.
Good morning.
Good morning. So I recently received results from a stool sample, and it appears that I have EPI, and I understand...
I'm sorry, I missed... You appear to have what?
EPI, severe pancreatic insufficiency, exocrine...
pancreatic insufficiency, okay, yes.
So I... never heard of it before, and I see that it's a rare condition based upon the Google research I've done, and I will be seeing my gastro soon about it. But it's interesting that you mentioned digestive enzymes. I see that most people with EPI that it's a lifelong condition and you have to go on digestive enzymes. And I guess my biggest question is, you know, given that you have to be on these things the rest of your life, is it guaranteed when you take them that you're absorbing all these wonderful foods, you know, that you should be eating, like the kale and the arugula and all those wonderful things? That's my first big question.
All right. So there's some fallacies in the internet and in the presentation to you of what you've got going on, from my perspective. Almost every condition that we experience, except for death, is a spectrum. It's not a permanent thing. It's responsive to different stimuli, and function changes with the toxic burden. And so if you have a condition where, say you have gluten sensitivity and the gluten is eaten regularly, eventually the pancreas is going to say, I'm tired of this because it's just been abused for so long. I have seen patients develop type 1 autoimmune diabetes mellitus in their 40s from gluten sensitivity. And so what you find on the internet is, from the gastroenterology standpoint, a permanent condition that is very rare. But having exocrine pancreatic insufficiency is not rare at all. I find it all the time in my practice because people have very upset guts. They have a toxic gut and it's not going to produce the enzymes. Almost everyone that starts taking the enzymes has improvement in their symptomatology, and so it seems that they work. And so if you can find out what is causing pancreatic insufficiency, then you can actually work on it. So is it gluten? Is it dairy? Is it something else? Is there infection? Is there yeast? So many things to look at that it definitely needs to be addressed. But taking the enzymes is a really good idea when you have low enzyme secretion.
Okay. Okay, great. Yeah, I was just curious about that. And, you know, healing the gut, as you mentioned, with all these wonderful cruciferous vegetables, if you have chronic diarrhea that might be being caused from the EPI, and it's been going on for a couple months,
yes,
might the prebiotics and probiotics and digestive enzymes be helping you to not have that when you're trying to get down all these wonderful healing foods?
Yes, exactly. That's the whole point. And avoiding the not healing foods is part of the equation too.
Okay. And avoid red wine, I take it, and coffee.
Well, if you're having pancreatic insufficiency, you need to be basically abstaining from alcohol because alcohol is a deadly toxin for the pancreas.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We've got David from Bell Rico on the line, but I'm going to make him wait a second while I give the number on out again. It's 813-239-9663 to participate in this conversation, and keep sending the emails to dj@wmnf.org. And let's go to David. Hey there, David.
Hey, you know, thanks for the great information, Doc.
You're welcome.
I listened to it last weekend, and I just want to tell you something. That I'm a 54-year-old male, and got that dad bod going, and the one thing I've noticed, and I have really good digestive health, but I do have a love affair with bread and beer. So I noticed that when I take kombucha and I drink, and sometimes I drink like a half a bottle or a quarter bottle, and I spread it out a couple of days. By the end of the week, my belly area shrinks. It's a noticeable difference. It seems like I feel better. I have more energy, but I thought it was like a way that it maybe lessens the inflammation of the intestines or something like that. That I don't know, Doc. Why does my belly shrink when I drink kombucha?
Kombucha is a really nice natural probiotic, and you might be actually really stroking the belly with something that it's really enjoying. And we know that beer and bread are dad bod makers. So your love affair with those two may need to go if you want to shift that. But they also cause your belly to bloat because both of them contain bloaty yeast. Yeah. And the kombucha yeast bacteria combination seems to actually combat that.
Yeah, so maybe I should have one shot of kombucha with one pint of beer.
There you go. On the other hand, you might want to consider going to a gluten-free beer. Costs a bit more money, might drink a little bit less of it, and it may put less strain on the belly. Greens, beers, and ales are amazingly delicious. They use like 5 different grains, and they do raise it with yeast. And the yeast is the question I have for you. Maybe that's the problem. And maybe if you switch to a bread like Sammy's millet and flax bread or Deland Bakery's oatmeal bread, they don't use yeast. Right. They use baking powder to raise it. So that could take a pressure off your belly too.
Oh, that's good. But, you know, it'll be like switching to a different relationship because I have a relationship with sourdough bread. And
well, they make, who is it? Sammy's makes a rice sourdough bagel that's pretty tasty and a sourdough millet bread.
No way. Wow, thanks for the information.
Yeah, good luck on that.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
You ready to move along to Rick in St. Pete?
Let's talk to Rick.
Top of the morning to you there, Rick.
Yeah.
Look, hi there.
Dr. Harvey, I want to thank you again for all your information. I really appreciate it and learn a lot every Monday. I got a couple probably really quick questions. I'm sorry to get off subject here too, but as far as taking the COVID test at home, now, the directions I get say you only have to go an inch up your nose, and then I've heard you got to go way up there. And I've also heard where to get the better specimens to go inside your cheek. What's your thoughts on that?
I think I would use the directions that are made for the kit that you've got because the directions change per the specimen required for the type of testing being done. So I would say yes. And another suggestion, testing after you've finished your COVID. If you've been infected, you know you're positive, and you're 5 to 10 days out, retesting is pointless. Having a negative test afterwards is not necessary because you might shed viral particles that are not infectious for weeks and even months afterwards. And so getting a negative test is not a test to go back to work or to do anything like that. It's pointless, honestly, because after 5 days, we know that you're no longer infecting anyone. The CDC, the World Health Organization, everybody has already published this data that there's no infection occurring, no transmission occurring 5 days after symptom development. And so repeating testing is silly.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
Wastes your money.
Okay. Listen, this other question, I've heard and I've seen on the web. I know you can't believe everything, but they found nanoworms on these tests from China. Now, I don't know where we get our swabs from, but have you heard anything about these nanoworms on the end of the swabs?
That's really a nice amount of hype and obfuscation. There's nothing happening there with the swabs.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Harvey. I appreciate the information.
You're so welcome. Do we have someone on?
No, we've gone quiet here again, so I'm going to again take this opportunity, throw out a phone number here, and you've been listening to The Healthy Steps with Dr. Fred Harvey, and you can participate in this conversation that's been really interesting by dialing 813-239-9663. And the emails have been rolling in, so we'll go to those in a second. But you can send yours to dj@wmnf.org. So as I promised, let's go to some emails there, Dr. Fred.
Very good. Melinda asks, my mom was diagnosed with diverticulitis, and her GI doctor recommended she take Miralax once a day. She would prefer a natural approach. And yes, rather than taking propylene glycol antifreeze, I would suggest that magnesium citrate is a really good option. Start with one capsule and slowly increase as you need it by one capsule each day until you get a loose bowel movement. Then back off by one capsule and take that dose every day. Another good thing is triphala, T-R-I-P-H-A-L-A. It's an Indian herbal combination of three herbs that works great with the magnesium. If you're not getting enough results with the magnesium, try that. Also, eating... if you can do it, if you're not having sugar problems, some dried fruit like prunes and apricots are really good. Oatmeal is excellent. So many good things to do rather than taking Miralax. But another really crucial part of this is drinking enough water. You got to hydrate to make your poops come out. So make sure you're getting a 1/2 ounce of water per pound of body weight per day. And here's one. Thanks for the informative show. Did I hear Dr. Harvey say that sauerkraut increases the permeability of the small intestine? So there's a possibility for people that have histamine sensitivity and low amounts of diamine oxidase in their gut that they would actually have problems with fermented foods like sauerkraut. So what we want to do is test it. If you feel worse after sauerkraut, don't do it. But if you feel great, like I do, then you can do it. Just really depends on how your body is reacting to it. Seems like we have some people on the line now.
Yeah, we actually do. We've got Carly from Ruskin here, so let's see what she wants to say. Hey, Carly.
Hey, Dr. Harvey.
Good morning.
Question for you. I've got a 3 and a 6-year-old. 3-year-old's great. She's a foodie. Her and I both can eat a lot of the fruits and vegetables. My 6-year-old was great. And then around 4, she just got super picky. I'm still trying to push that. She still has, like, her, you know, loves her carrots and loves her broccoli, but I kind of want to expand it to the whole rainbow. But she's, you know, still lacking in that. And I don't want to push it too hard to where she starts to revert to everything. Is there, I've never been one on, like, supplements, but if there's something that I, you know, I try to sneak in stuff, like on shakes and stuff, but if there's something that I could help her, you know, get a full spectrum of everything, recommend a little kid supplement or something like that.
Yeah, they make some really good chewable children's vitamins that are full spectrum and very highly absorbable and with activated B vitamins. One of the companies I work with is Zymogen. They have great quality products. Fish oil is very important. I would say that if you can get some fish oil into them, it would be excellent. If she can take a capsule, that would be great. The way I got my kids to take capsules is to have them chew up some food and put the capsule with the food and swallow it. Another thing is that when you're trying to get them to eat more, one of the tricks that I did was to put the food that they really weren't interested in on the plate and tell them one bite is enough. All I have to do is try it. Try every food on the plate, eat what you want. And then if you've tried everything, then you've at least got it in your mouth. And
yeah.
I was never really pushy after that because if they ate one bite, I knew that they got it and they might later then like it. And both of my kids eat everything on the planet now. So I think it worked pretty well.
Yeah, I do a 2-bite try. I also try to do combo bites. So if I say I make like a mac and cheese of some sort, and then I will put say, hey, put some lima beans to, you know, it kind of dies down that taste so they taste the mac and cheese. But she's still very picky, and sometimes I try to put,
I think we lost Carly.
Oh, I think so. Well, there she is.
Different, you know. But do you have a brand of fish oil? Because I have heard of that. I've just heard, you know, some fish oils lesser than others. So I'd like to try to find something of good quality.
What you want to look for is IFOS, the International Fish Oil Standard. It's a third-party global certifier of quality fish oil. If it has the IFOS standard on the bottle, it is safe, clean fish oil.
IFOS. Okay, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
You're so welcome.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty, we got Celia from Land O'Lakes on the phones here.
Hello, Celia.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Harvey. I have 2 questions for you. One of them is to pick up where the previous caller was asking you a question in regards to the nanoparticles found in the nasal swab, which obviously I've heard your answer to him. But I have another question in regards to the swab.
Yes.
You know, because on the outside packaging, it does state that there is ethylene oxide in the swab.
That there is what?
Ethylene, or however you said, ethylene or ethylene, ETH.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So what are your thoughts on that? That's question one. And question number two, if you go and take the vaccine, whether it be at Walgreens or CVS, and if you were to ask for the insert package to see what the content is on those vaccines, there's none. The insert packaging is empty. So those are my questions for you, and hopefully I made sense with my question to you.
You do make sense. And ethylene oxide is a a sterilizing agent. It is used to sterilize products, and it's not for ingestion. And so the swabs are subjected to the ethylene oxide gas, and it kills all the bacteria and viruses on them, and then it goes away. And so there really should be very little ethylene oxide left in there, but they use it as a detoxifier. But, you know, there might be one molecule of it possibly still hanging around the swab because the swab is probably made of a synthetic material, and the organic toxins love to stick to those materials. Second question, I have seen that information, and I think I would say if you're going for a shot, I want to see the actual package insert with printing on it, and you can't give me a shot until you give me the actual printing, because otherwise you're doing an experiment on me without informed consent. I need the information to give my consent, and so if they're not giving the information, there's no consent going to be given. This is that simple for me.
Exactly. Thank you very much, because you gave me the answer that I was hoping to hear, because you're absolutely correct. And for that, again, thank you, and I wish you a good day.
Thank you. Have a great day yourself.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. We're down to about 8 more minutes, and we got Barbara from Tampa on the line. So let's go to Barbara. Barbara?
Good day, Barbara.
Fred. Hi. How are you doing?
Excellent. How are you?
I'm pretty good, nice weather. I was wondering if you knew anything about gene replacement therapy for Parkinson's, as far as studies they have going on where they inject a vector with a new gene, in a sense, and it's supposed to replace the old gene's functionality. Have you got any comments on that?
I'm sorry, I missed what the gene therapy was for?
Parkinson's disease.
Oh, you know, I have read something about that. Don't know anything about it more than I've read about it. But yes, the gene therapies are beginning to show up. This is fascinating. We've had gene therapy show up for sickle cell, and now it's showing up for Parkinson's, and it may show up for some other things here in the near future. Cystic fibrosis is one of those things. So yeah, that's really exciting, isn't it?
It is, but right now it's in the stage one for the study, and I'm thinking of participating in it.
Oh, that's exciting.
Well, good. Okay, well, we'll leave it at that. It sounds like that's a positive note. It's a little frightening, but...
Oh, yes, I agree, and I give you kudos for actually deciding to participate in the clinical experiment.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, yeah, I'm trying. There's not much available, I mean, other than the things that you say on your show. But how does the leaky gut affect the tremor in my Parkinson's disease?
It sets you up for whenever you have leaky gut, you have leaky brain, because the blood-brain barrier and the gut barrier are very similar. So if you're leaking in your gut, you're leaking in your head. So you get all kinds of toxins and other kind of products in your brain that you don't want there. It causes inflammation and damages your systems.
Well, how do I know it's not from my genetic predisposition to the disease?
And you don't, but you don't really, but everything stacks up. I mean, if you have toxic burden, it's going to be worse. If you have leaky gut, it's going to be worse. And still you have the genetics, so it's going to be worse.
Leaky gut. I mean, I have pretty good tolerate a lot of things, although my stomach is always swollen.
There you go, right there. If your stomach's always swollen, you know you have inflammation in your belly. A test you can do from Vibrant America Labs is called the Wheat Zoomer, and it looks at intestinal permeability. Precision Point Labs in Dunwoody, Georgia also does one called the Intestinal Barrier Assessment. So we have ways of looking at these things. And unfortunately, gastroenterologists don't bother looking at these amazing clinical FDA-approved CLIA testing. These are done by real labs, and they're just ignored by a significant portion of medicine.
So that's what, if I came to you, is that what you would do? And then what would you recommend for that?
Well, that's the kind of work we do in the office. And I've talked about a lot of things I do for general gastrointestinal problems on the show already. So you know how to support it from what I've talked about.
Got it. All right, Dr. Fred, thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
More
hey, I have an
Go ahead.
I have an email here. Bobby, I'm going to be listening to your show tonight. Bobby, I love your show. Bobby says she was introduced to the modified elimination diet in August 2010. She does it twice a year in January or July. And then she says it feels good. It's easy. It makes sense. And she said, just Google the modified elimination diet. It's true. It's the information's out there. It's not unique and it's not new. And it's real easy to do. You just have to have a commitment.
All right. We're looking at about three, 4 more minutes. And I've got John from Tampa with a supplement question for you, Dr. Fred.
Hello, John.
Hello. How you doing?
Fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing great. I have a question. I bought a supplement based on a video that I saw online, and I've been into natural medicine for a while, but I saw this, I don't even know if I'm allowed to say his name, Dr. Stephen Gundry. He has a product that's supposed to stop leaky gut and supposed to give you more energy and weight loss. So I went ahead and purchased it, and when I got it, I read the back, and I was familiar with everything in it, so I was kind of like almost calling it snake oil. But I had already paid for it, so I decided I was going to go for it. It didn't have any bad ingredients in it, anything right. I was really concerned about for my health. But yes. I went ahead and went for it, and I've been taking it. And I've lost some weight, and I've had my energy hasn't dropped. You know, I can't say that it's great, but it's, you know, I have energy still. And the one issue I'm having is when I use the restroom and have a large bowel movement, it seems like my food almost comes out undigested, like it just passes through me, and this is new since I've been taking this medication. So, you know, I was going to reach out to him, but I got you on the line, and I wanted to see what your opinion was on this.
Well, it sounds like you are having something induced by that. And, his product is not bad. It's generic. It's made for everybody. And it has benefits for some people. But no one remedy is good for everybody all the time. So, you may want to look for a similar formula to see that it maybe doesn't cause the same kind of symptom. But no, it's not harmful, and it could be helpful. But, you know, snake oil salesmen are everywhere, and everybody who's online selling nutritional supplements will sell you the stars because that's what selling is all about.
Right. Yeah, I get it. You know, it's just this guy has an incredible video that he shows, and you get locked into watching it. You know, it's one of those things. And
I unlocked that. I can't watch those videos. They drive me insane. I'm done with it in the first 3 minutes.
Well, I always listen to your show, and it was your sister that had the show before, right?
Well, she was my big spiritual sister, best friend, colleague of many years.
Okay, yeah, and I used to call in on her show. I've been somebody who's tried using, you know, natural medicine or, you know, as my whole life, basically, ever since when I was 14 years old, and my girlfriend broke up with me, and I got an ulcer, and a lady told me about aloe vera, and I started taking aloe vera, eating crackers, keeping something in my stomach.
And aloe is aloe wonderful, vera, but John, I think we have to. It's wonderful. We have to actually push away at the moment because the show's coming to an end.
Well, thanks for taking my call. Have a great day.
You have a wonderful day, too. Thanks for your call.
So there, Dr. Fred, you got anything you want to tell us about next week?
So next week, now that we've set up the gut to support the liver, we're going to talk about how the liver actually works on this detox and produces the ability to take care of these toxins so that then we can move into actually talking about some specific detox over the following weeks. Hormone detoxification, metal detoxification, petrochem and mycotoxin detox. So we're just going to keep developing this concept and talk about more specifics, things we can do. But next week, it's how important the liver really is.
Well, that all sounds exciting, and I look forward to it. And so from everyone here at WMNF Tampa, until next week, 10 o'clock. Thank you, Dr. Harvey, and thanks to all of our listeners.
You've been listening to Healthy Steps with Dr. Fred Harvey here on WMNF Tampa. Coming on up now is your 5-minute NPR news brief, and then we'll slide on into sustainable living with your eminent hosts, Mary Glennie and Arlene Engelhardt. And a special thanks and high praise goes on out to Clark for handling the phone calls today. Until next Monday at 10 a.m., thank you for supporting and listening to Healthy Steps with Dr. Fred Harvey here on WMNF Tampa, your community-conscious radio station. Stay safe, stay thoughtful, and know...
Live.